Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I think I have a little bit of a throat problem this morning. Randy and I might have to do a duet here after a while. But it's great to be here this morning. Looking forward to having a great show this morning. I've got Miss April Smith Patterson coming in. She's going to spend about 30 minutes with us before she has to get back to being mommy here in a few minutes. She's going to talk about being a mom, among other things. And also coming up a little bit later on, I have Miss Beverly Hollyfield from over at the museum coming on. She's going to tell us a little bit about the hours for the museum, things going on over there, since she is now the president of that organization, I think. She is not a lifelong resident here, but her parents were, her family were the Markham family, one of the original families here. And she and her husband have retired here, and she's looking for something to do, and she found something that's going to keep her busy for a while. So she'll be on here in a few minutes, but right in a few minutes, April and I are going to be talking about, we wander off sometimes, and we'll be doing that, but we'd like to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner, where we're coming to you from, the historic Clay County Courthouse, which is celebrating its birthday this year of being open for 150 years. The construction on this building was completed, I think maybe sometime during the late summer of 1873. So we're going to be celebrating that with a special new celebration that we're not a new, but a combination celebration with working with the museum historical commission here. We're going to be doing a heritage festival this year. We're going to be celebrating the birthday of the courthouse, celebrating hopefully the opening of the Rolly Hole Marble Museum, just a bunch of things with the museum itself, and then also with the courthouse here, and looking forward to having a big celebration here that first weekend in August. So we will have a whole lot more news on that later on. I know we have got another Lola Jean Dillon tribute show that same weekend, and got a bluegrass band coming in from West Virginia that's going to be doing a free bluegrass show, and there'll be some publicity getting out on that. We just got lots of things coming up a little bit later on, and we've got our crews in back here on the courthouse on I think our next one is not this coming month, but the next one. I know they had one last weekend, but I didn't get to attend. I had to go down to Chatsworth, Georgia, where my nephew got married down there, and well, here I am jabbering about trip, but it was a great trip down there. It just so happened that was the celebration of the Arts Commission there in that, and they had about 200 booths and just had closed down Chatsworth. Got to stroll around through that, get some ideas to bring back with us for things up here. So glad to be back and glad to get ready to do the show here today. And before we do that, we'd like to thank the folks that make this show possible here each Thursday morning, that being the Clay County Chamber and the Three-Star Committee and folks like the Smith family that are members of the Chamber of Commerce. And I know they have a conglomeration out there, but right now we're going to be talking a little bit about the state beef commission,
the Tennessee Beef Council
that she participated in. We're going to talk about that a little bit and then let her catch up on some of the things that's going on out there with the Smith family businesses as it is now. It's Honest Abe and all the other things put together. And they have just about everything. It's kind of like the old saying about the stockyards, that the only thing that was wasted from a pig was the squeal. And that's about the way they operate out there. About the only thing missing when they get through is the squeal.
The sound of the saw, but yes.
But we'll be back here in a few minutes. Remind everyone that we've got a few people on the birthday list. We'll be giving away that great birthday prize over to Chamber here about end of the show. We'll announce the names about halfway through if I don't forget it. But right now, We'll be back just in a few minutes, and we're going to talk to April about a video that she did, and get online and look at it. Yeah. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here this morning. I know Mrs. April Smith Patterson is here, and she has just took on triple duty now with all her business work and two youngsters to help take care of. And a husband to take care of. So she is a very, very busy young lady. But right now, I'm going to let her tell about an experience that she just had before we will stay on subject here for a few minutes, and then we'll wander. Tell us about this, what came up, April, and how it all came about.
Yeah, well, the Tennessee Beef Council started a mom series, like a farm mom series, and they chose 8 different farm moms across the entire state of Tennessee. And I can't tell you, I was beyond thrilled that I got to be chosen to be one of those farm moms. And what we did, they did a video, they did some interviews, and then we got to take over their social media platform for a day. So I got to share a day in the life of a farm mom from my perspective and my day. So I literally filmed all day what we did all day, from putting a roast on that morning to taking food to the farm guys, doing haylage that day. We tagged calves. We just took everybody through our whole day and shared about what we do on the farm with our commercial and our purebred side of our cattle, where we do row crops, and then how we have the venue on the farm where we do agritourism and the barn sales, which there's one coming up. But that was a really big deal. And if you want to see that, they have everything on their Instagram account through Tennessee Beef. Is literally what you go to. It's on Instagram at Tennessee Beef. And they do a lot of things that really promote agriculture and beef. And we're just proud that we get to be you know, good stewards of raising beef for families to be able to consume. I tell you, I did not have an iron problem when I was pregnant from as much beef as I consumed. So it is very good and nutritious. That's about all I craved was roast and hamburger and cute steak.
Well, that's a nice craving to have.
That's a good one.
You know, it ain't supper if it ain't got a piece of beef on it.
I know it. It'll stick with you.
Okay, now... You said, let's tell them about a typical day.
Oh, the typical day. So we just welcomed a newborn, so we have a new little fella.
What's his name?
Liam Fowler. So Liam is short for William, which traces back to one of the Clay County's first families on my mama's side, to a William Pennington. He was also a Revolutionary War hero, but we had lots of Williams on that side. Nick does as well. So Liam was short for William. And then Fowler, this is a really interesting story that John Fowler was my great-grandfather on my dad's side and my great-grandfather on my mama's side. Y'all don't worry, not the same great-grandfather, totally different. You know, we had John Fowler and Fowler Clinton. But later I realized that where our house sits, there was a man named Fowler Huffines that used to have a watermelon patch right there. And I reckon my daddy and my Uncle Dillard would try to go in there and steal watermelons, and apparently this man shot at them. So now I have really cracked up that we've named our child after great-grandfathers and somebody who shot at my daddy at one point. So
Fowler Huffines sounds like a familiar... Maybe, I think he may have been an itinerant preacher here in Clay County. Is that the same Fowler Huffines?
I believe it could be. I'm going to have to ask my Uncle Jim, but I have...
That just hit me because...
I have gotten so tickled. Why did you put Fowler in there? There was a man who used to shoot at me and your daddy trying to steal watermelons, and I thought, well, what were you doing stealing watermelons?
Well, now,
but anyway...
You've heard the little story about the watermelon patch, hadn't you?
I don't know.
People were stealing watermelons from the farmer, and he said, I've got to stop this. So he puts him up a little sign at the gate. One of the watermelons here is poison. The next morning he came back and said, guess what? Another one is.
Oh, my goodness.
I got that. One of my...
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it would be amazing probably to come up with just a thing of... people that actually, you know, that went into watermelon patches and stole them a few watermelons, or into the roast near time. I mean, there'd have to be so many interesting stories that could be compiled and put together about, you know, and like I said, people getting, you know, shooting a shotgun over the head. Most of the time they didn't shoot to kill people back in those days.
Just to scare them a little.
It would just scare them a little bit. But, you know, there are so many of those stories you know, certain characters in the community that tended to ease over and get them a sack full of roast ears and things like that. You may have to do a little research on that.
I think I'm going to.
Spread your authoring out just a little bit.
We can do that.
Okay, but now let's get back to that typical day again.
Well, you know, with two littles, that's a little bit more of an adjustment than I thought. And then with all the businesses still trying to make meetings and work from home and then being on the farm, which is a huge blessing, but also a huge responsibility as well with what you have to do every day. We're up to a little over 300 mama cows and, you know, having babies and trying to make sure they're tagged, taken care of, and fed. But we're also blessed with great people that help us to do and manage all those things. But the typical day is sun up to sundown, usually after sundown. There's not much break in between.
Okay, and your day starts about...
Whatever time.
Right after you go to sleep at night.
I feel like that's about what time it starts most of the time, especially with a new baby. But, you know, usually around 6 is when we get started. And honestly, it's about 9 or 10 before I feel like we stop. But we do eat in between, so.
Okay, now, you know, some of the things I know are pretty bland, and you do them every day and things. You know, some of the interesting things that your day involves sometimes. Yeah, you know, I know there had to be some things when you were doing this that kind of stood out and said, you know, this really doesn't happen every day.
Right, right. And some of those things were, you know, the day that I was doing the takeover, I had a call that Tim Smith was retiring. That was his last day, was the day I took it. So I was crying half the day because, man, he's been there since Dad first started. And, man, to get that call and to be told, you know, hey, this is Tim's last day, trying to manage, you know, other things that kind of come along. But that was one that stood out Friday whenever I did the takeover, was getting that call from Tim.
Okay, now, the farm life there, and all of that. Just, excuse me, how deeply involved are you in the day-to-day operation? I know your husband is kind of in charge of that, but, you know, your day-to-day activities that you run into, I mean, this is, it's right now getting ready to be, and probably already started planting season.
Right, right. And so we usually load up and we go with Nick and we go with him to tag calves, and I'm usually the one that gets out to help protect him from the mamas that are trying to, you know, charge whenever he's tagging babies. You know, sometimes the guys are working through lunch. I might go be the one to go get them lunch and bring it out in the field. I could be on a telehandler moving equipment or hay or gravel down the road. I can do a little bit of every one of those jobs. I just don't love to plant because that is really complicated with all the gadgets and gizmos that they have on them. Their GPS, like the tractor can drive itself. It's pretty incredible.
Right. I mean, you know, you look out there and they, you know, the driver has fell out of the tractor.
It still keep going. So,
but, you know, and of course, you know, back in the day when we took the old turning plow and you turned the fields up and you turned the cover crop under and all this kind of thing, came out and laid the rows off, or and then come by with the, if you were a real big time farmer and had maybe a 6 or 8 row corn planter. Yeah. And now, when you get ready to plant corn, you just go out in the field and...
Well, so Nick does something to where he strip tills first, so he actually literally drills in the fertilizer into the ground, so that way he's not spraying it just on top of it, and then he'll go through and program it into the computer, and the computer literally lines up the planter to where the corn is planted in the exact same row that he had just put fertilizer in. It's really an interesting process. Just the technology that there is incredible, and I think, man, what would our grandfathers think of this whenever they literally farmed this ground with horse-drawn implements and by hand. It's come a long way.
And they were sitting there saying, yay.
Yeah.
He and John, what were those commands for the old mule to move around?
That was hard work. How tough. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me that again, Randy. Gene Hall. And what was that lesson again? But, you know, I often wondered if that was a universal language that animals understood, because I wonder what German farmers used to direct their animals around.
I know. When we holler for our cows, it's interesting because Nick, he likes to go swoo, and I was always taught it's sook, sook, scat. So, you know.
Yeah. Let's take a little short break on that and come right back.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
39 years.
Welcome back, everyone. I know I just threw out one of the names of one of the members of the first class I helped sponsor here at Salina High School when I first started teaching. I think she graduated about 1975, and went, I know she's part of the family out
yeah.
there. And Miss Murray, and I'd asked her how long she had been there, and she'd been there a long time. And I get looking around, and I guess I've been around a long time, too.
Y'all have been, but what the great blessings that's been. But, yeah, I know she's been there at least 39 years because she helped start with Barky Beaver, and I know it formed in 84, but she was there before that. So, man, long time.
And, well, there, I guess you're kind of working down on the folks that have been there forever now because it's... That many. But, you know, when you have a family operation, you really are family.
You
aren't
are.
You?
Everyone is. It's...
Okay, now let's get back again to your beef business.
Yeah.
I think you beef that's,
right.
that you sell or, and that you, do you
yeah.
have a distributorship set up? And...
You know, Thomas, we actually just sell right off the farm. We have all of our permits, but we sell the Akaushi beef and what Akaushi means is red cow in Japanese, but they're like the Wagyu type, so the marbling is absolutely phenomenal. They're higher in oleic acid. It's actually a heart-healthy beef through the Heart Association. I know that sounds very – Nick could give you all the absolute details of why that is, but it's just a really good buttery meat that's not fatty, I guess. Is
we got to get him back again. Here
well, he's in the car. Up. He's just holding the baby, so if you need us to change.
We can't get you both at once right now. Okay, now, a little bit about I know you went through a process in the last little bit of kind of rebranding stuff out there.
Yeah.
And some of the new things that you've incorporated. And
yes. So... We're doing something totally new. I've only announced it whenever we did the Tennessee Beef Council. But, you know, we have the agritourism, the barn sales out there that we have. We got one coming up May 5th and 6th. But we're working on a commercial kitchen right now that will have all the state permits so people can come in and do their sauces or do their jams and breads, whatever that is, and be licensed to resell that. But one thing we're opening this fall, and we've not announced this, so this is some new news, is we'll be opening agritourism right behind the barn sale area. So we're going to be having pumpkin patch, corn maze, sunflower field, all kinds of fun things for the kids to do. And we're going to open that this fall. We finally were able to purchase the land that joins the barn sale area there. So we're really excited about it. Going to have a little bit of a Smith family farming museum with a lot of the horse-drawn implements that my grandpa had. But lots of things coming, especially this fall on the farm there.
Okay, so now we're not going to have to drive to Sparta.
You won't have to drive to Sparta. It'll be in your own back door, everybody. And we hope to make Clay County proud by continuing to do things and offer things for our community to better it, because that's the backbone is our community. And
and I know Miss Claudia Johnson.
Yeah.
That works for you there. And I think, you know, you did a complete rebranding. You moved away.
Oh.
And on most of the signs out there with the Honest Abe with Abe Lincoln,
we
and kind of came up with a more modern type
we
thing.
We did.
And some of the other things, I know you're, I think you have your magazine that you
yeah.
do. Tell us a little bit about them, you know, putting a magazine together.
Right.
I know you're deeply involved in doing that.
So I did our, we worked on our 50-year magazine whenever all our companies turn 50 years, but then we also do our little Honest Abe Living. So that's went from a hard copy to digital, and Miss Claudia puts that together and interviews customers and gets pictures, and she does a wonderful job with that. But then we're also in the Log Home Living magazines and all of those big magazines that you can buy at the grocery store or Lowe's or subscribe. Yes, everything is really changing from hard print. But now, Thomas, I like hard print. That's what I like. I'm not a digital person.
I do too. And, you know, you like to hold it in your hand and turn the page. But, you know, that the website that you have, that is what, just honestabe.com?
Honestabe.com, and then Barky Beaver has its own website. It's barkybeaver.com, and then, of course, we got one for GF and Moss, gfhardwoods.com. Do I need to go through all of them?
You know, well, no, see, that's something.
Eco panels.
That is, you know, it's a business plan I know that your dad came up with early on.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, Honest Abe, Honest Abe is log homes.
Uh-huh.
That's what part of the business. But it's an umbrella business, isn't it?
Right.
And you want to talk? We've got a few more minutes before I know you. It's going to be time for
nursing for the newborn.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we've got one that's about 14 months old that lets you know that he's hungry.
Oh, they will. They will.
But, you know, that you just mentioned there, I'll stop you here. Just tell us what all that involves.
Well, okay, so we have Green Forest Wood Products, which I guess was the very first kind of name that Dad came up with when he started making those mop and broom handles out of just scrap lumber from other mills in the area, and then that transformed into the sawmill industry where that's Moss Sawmills, and then where we take that green lumber and dry it at GF Hardwoods. But then we take all the waste, any chips, any bark, literally use every part of those logs that come in, and we'll make mulch and soil mixes. And that's really, I wish we could do a video tour sometime, because we just got the coolest robotic arm and the robotic bagging machine. We're like state of the art now. We got robots. It's incredible. But then we also have Honest Abe Log Homes. And our newest division there is Eco Panels of Tennessee. But then Nick and I, we do the Acres of Grace Farms and the Southern Marketplace, barn sale and agritourism. And my brother does Shane Smith Farms. And it's just a conglomerate.
Well, no, Shane, is he actually actively involved in all this as you are? Is he kind of more leaning?
Yeah, he is. He is incredible he still loves the sawmill and the lumber side. And is really involved in trying to make sure we have timber or logs and helping with those crews. And then he farms too. So,
and you know, it's amazing. You know, we all knew when the Honest Abe Log Home thing started, we all recognized that the Green Forest, you know, that they bought timber and things like that. But the way that you all have been able to adapt over the years, and you have a little metamorphosis from one thing to another, and I know that you are one of our major employers here in the county, and I'm sure you'd like to have more help if you could get it right now.
That would be great, y'all. That would be great.
So if you'd like a job.
Yes, just come see us. We have applications there at the main office building, so just come get one, fill one out. That'd be great.
And I also know that you folks have always been great with public service.
Oh.
And that's one of the things that I know you'd... you're not going to brag about that or anything, but I'm going to do just a little bit for you. But, you know, these folks do so much for Clay County, more than just provide jobs, that you provide lots and lots of help and a lot of things that lots of people don't know about, and which is, I think, maybe kind of the way you want it. You don't want to wave the flag too often. But when you come across something new like you've got going now with your... with your agri farm out there, with your corn mazes and things, people in Clay County, get over there and support that when it gets open.
That is sweet. And we do donate a portion of all of our proceeds to different, you know, groups and different things in the county, whether it be our Family Resource Center or a family in need or Department of Children's Services. We do a lot of different things. And I think one of the coolest things we do is we provide all the curriculum for all the freshmen of Clay County High School for their financial planning. It's through Dave Ramsey, and we've been able to sponsor that for years. And that's how we feel like we get to reach every child in Clay County, is they all have to have that as
and,
a freshman.
And near and dear to us here, you are the national sponsor of the Rolly Hole Marble Championship over Sand and Stone. And I'm sure when we get our museum going here, there'll be a special little spot in here for some memorabilia and some things from that.
Well, we're proud, and we're so grateful. Thank you for having me, Thomas.
Yeah, I think
I
heard a
whang. I'm sure you did. I'm going to have to head to the car soon. And
but thank you for being here, and we'll be hollering back again here in a little bit.
Okay.
And anytime you're driving by, just come by and say howdy.
We can do it.
All right. Thank you, Thomas.
Thanks
a lot. We'll be right back in a minute. After I do the birthdays, I've got to forget them again, wasn't I? Celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week, we have Sue Cherry celebrating the birthday. We've got one anniversary, David and Wendy Spears, and also Sheila Long celebrating the birthday. And we had had three folks yesterday celebrating the birthday, Mr. Jeff Clements, Connie Garrett, and Paul Page. And then also this past week, Ms. Bernice Rush celebrated the birthday. So we'd like to wish all those folks a happy birthday, and one of them will become a winner of the weekly prize we give away here, that you go over by the Chamber of Commerce and tell them who you are, and you're there to pick up your prize. And with that, we'll take a little short break from our sponsors. Be back in just a few minutes. Thank you.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked. That's Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers,
outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to thank April for coming by and joining us again this morning. It's always great when we get her here. Excuse me. This is one of them mornings. But I have Beverly Hollyfield with me now, who is a long-time semi-citizen here for a long, long time, but a full-time citizen life a little bit, who has come in and joined a lot of our volunteer groups. And with the retirement of Miss Mary Lloyd over at the museum, she kind of volunteered to do that, and I guess did maybe a pretty good job as a volunteer, and the board kind of chose her to be in charge of the place for a little while.
Beverly,
tell us a little bit about your background, how you wound up here, something, maybe a little bit of the family background.
Right. Well, it's really interesting. My family is definitely Clay County, without a doubt. My great-grandfather actually built the log home on Gainsboro Highway, the big two-story log home there, for my great-great-grandmother. And at one time, Cordell Hull actually stayed in the log house when he was going to school at Montvale Academy.
I wonder if he had to walk from there to town.
I would say yes.
Oh, he probably had a horse. So.
Oh, he might. Yeah, he might have had a horse. He might have had a horse. But my family, the log house was built around 1830, and the farm has been in my family since before that. And when my mother passed away, we just wanted to keep the family. We wanted to keep the farm in the family. It's very important to all of my family, my kids especially. My son will be probably the next one to come and take the farm. But anyway, so we've just always been in Clay County, always been a part of Clay County. And my great-grandfathers had stores right here in town. One had kind of a furniture store. One had a grocery store. It was the Markhams, the Dales, the Dentons. My great-great-aunt was Annabelle Denton, and she taught school for as long as the building was there, I believe.
Miss Annabelle was well-known for cracking knuckles with the ruler.
Absolutely, and even to her own family, because I did go to school with her a couple of times when I'd be here and visit, and man, it would make not matter if you were a relative or if you were a student. So
she was second-grade teacher at Salonic Elementary school. I didn't go second grade, thank goodness. I came over in the third grade. But I know my class, I think maybe about half that class may have failed that year. But Miss Annabelle didn't.
She was very strict. She didn't put up with any foolishness whatsoever. My great-grandfather, which was J.P. Dale, was actually a justice of the peace at one time and used to marry people right at his house. I remember that. So my family is very much entrenched in Clay County, and I want to be right there with them and keep the heritage going.
And you just mentioned something there that I want to get the word out through, I guess, through social media and things like that, and that is stories of people that got married in Clay County and the courthouse here. And to get people to send in and tell us the story of how they came here, how they got married, why. I mean, it kind of got me thinking. I had a couple this week come in here from North Carolina that celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. You can usually tell those folks when they're walking around this building holding hands, trying to get in, get back to where it all started. But that's something we're going to try to hopefully maybe make part of our celebration coming up. I know we're going to be giving a prize away to the person that comes back to the square here where they got married and the farthest distance. But, you know, there's just so many interesting stories about how people came here. I know this group said, you know, they came down first and went to Byrdstown on a weekend. They got their blood test up there, and then it would come time to get married. The courthouse was closed up there. And some gentleman there at the courthouse told me they'd have to wait till Monday, and he said, well, I told him, I can't wait till Monday. I got to be back to work in Indiana on Monday. So, you know, and they came down here and got the courthouse is open. I think we kept them open here on Saturday just to get them in here. And the Justice of Peace did get their $5 for marrying people. And it was basically just a great story. And I have a little thing in the paper here today or so on that. But
I think one thing wonderful about that, Thomas, is the museum, which is the part that I work with the most right now, the museum and the courthouse museum, as I will call it, is they're going to work together. And I think that's the beauty of being here in Clay County, is being able to work with each other and make, you know, accent each other's attributes. And so I think that's very important. And I'm excited about Heritage Days. It's going to be a two-day festival instead of what we've had in the past. We've taken it down to a one-day museum festival. But now that we're joining with the courthouse and the Preservation Committee and the Chamber of Commerce, we are able to make it a two-day event. And it's going to be full of activities, fun, a roly-hole marble tournament, all kinds of things. And we're able to do that because we're joining together, I believe, Thomas. And I know
the roly-hole marble yard down at Donaldson Park has been cleaned off, cleared off a little bit, getting ready to resurrect it and have an outdoor public marble yard again for oldsters and youngsters to go down there and enjoy a game of marbles. And I think one of the first things when we get it going is we're going to have a day down there of learn how to play marbles.
Oh, I think that's great.
So there's
roly-hole marbles.
Yes,
there's a difference
hole
in playing marbles.
See, that kind of thing, you know, we will have our roly-hole marble museum here, which is a specialized, and which will be, you know, concentrating on the roly-hole marble museum. Mr. Bud Garrett, the blues man, is involved in it. The Dumas Walker, the Headhunters, more specialized on a couple of things here. And out there, you can just about anything and everything.
You can just go through history. It's been fascinating for me. The other day I had a gentleman to call whose mother and father were raised around moss, and he and his wife did not have any children, and they were both only children themselves. And so he said, I've got a few things. Do you mind if I send them to you? Do y'all want them? And I was like, do we want them? Of course we want them. And it's been exciting because one of the things he sent, I guess many people have heard the Marines called leatherheads. A lot of people referred to them like that, leathernecks. And so I guess I'd always heard that term, but I never really knew how it evolved. They actually wore a leather collar, a very stiff leather collar. Well, he sent me one that belonged to one of his uncles. And that was fascinating. He sent me a silver star that his father earned in World War II. Money and memorabilia that his father collected while in Europe because he served in Italy, France, and some in Germany. And so it's been interesting being there because people will call up and say, well, you know, we've got these things and we don't have any place for them. Would you like to have them? He sent us information on the Braswells, on the Walkers, and there were several other families that he had information on. So people that are interested in the family need to stop by and just see what we have. We're trying to organize it. Mary Lloyd did a phenomenal job. We're trying to organize it by family, so somebody comes in and says, what do you have on the Savage family? We can pull that information. So that was some of the things we've received. Recently, we got a letter signed by President Andrew Johnson. Wasn't the best president in the world, according to history, but he was the president. He was, from Tennessee. And so a family donated that. Some beautiful porch rockers. We have a pewter plaque about the Corps of Engineers. It was donated by Kevin Donaldson family. So we're gaining so many things, and it's just absolutely fascinating.
You know, at this time of the year, I ran across something the other day. I'm sure that I had seen it in the history classes before, and that is with Cordell Hull, who was, you know, started out as an mm-hmm. isolationist Democrat mm-hmm. from the state of Tennessee and wound up as a worldwide sponsor of interaction, no tariffs and that kind of thing, that kind of how he changed. But one of the things I saw in there that people, when they're complaining about the income tax law, if they would go and read the original plan for that and look at what Cordell Hull came up with for the income tax plan, how he moderated what they had in there. But he actually wrote the income tax law, which I'm sure I'd seen before.
I did not know that until we talked about it the other day, but we also need to recognize he was the father of the United Nations.
Yes, absolutely. And you can go upstairs in the courtroom and sit where a Nobel Peace Prize winner sat.
Actually sat,
and
yes.
I saw something the other day, too. Growing up, watching the old war pictures and the people jumping out of airplanes, you know how they would holler Geronimo when they jumped out? Well, guess why they did that? When they had Geronimo trapped out west on top of a big bluff, he backed his horse off and run off of it, and he's going down, he hollered, Geronimo.
Oh, wow.
So that is where that came from, a piece of useless information to store away.
No, it's not useless. I think that's what's fascinating about being at the museum. People will stop by, and they'll be from everywhere. We've had Washington State. We've had Arizona, Texas. And they start telling some of the family folklore. Some of it is truly folklore, but it's absolutely fascinating. And I go in. Yesterday I went in to do a lot of work at the museum, and I received the box from the gentleman that had all of the memorabilia from World War II and from his family in Moss. Got nothing done because I got into the box in the interest of it. One thing I'd like to mention we are very excited about, we're going to have the fourth graders from K-8 here in Salina to come to the museum. And one of my goals is to let children, young people, know about history and hopefully find a historian in there, a little fourth grader that wants to be a historian one day or wants to capture his family's history. So we're excited about them coming. They'll be coming to see us on May 10th. And there's like 60 of them. We're going to split them up and into two categories, inside and outside, so that we can tell them as much as possible within the time we have them.
Well, you know, there's something there, Beverly, that we need to really take advantage of and emphasize. You know, so many of our older generations, they don't like to talk about things. They don't like to be interviewed by strangers. But you give an eighth grader his telephone he has now and sit down with Grandma and Grandpa and just talk to them and record that, you would be amazed. This is something I'm encouraging these younger people to do, is to take that phone, sit down with Grandma and Grandpa and just talk to them and record that, because they will be pleased to talk to you about things. But if someone like me or Beverly comes in, you know, I don't want to tell them this stuff. But
they're hesitant. They
and
really
what,
are.
What yeah. you're doing, you know, you're preserving the memory, the history of your family. And that is something I think that we need to make a concerted effort to do things like that.
You know, and that's something we can mention to the fourth graders. Even though they're fourth graders, they love their grandma and grandpa. And grandma and fourth graders today have cell phones that they could record on, or even just a little recorder. But yes, it's true, Thomas, we've lost so much, and I think 2020 just almost wiped us out of so much history when we lost so many of our elderly in that time, because we don't have them to go back and ask the question.
You know, we go in now and we sit there and we look at the old photographs on the wall. If you're an eighth grader, you say, Grandpa, who is that? And he will have, there's no telling how many stories to tell about who that person is in that photograph. Mm-hmm. And that's family history, things that, you know, we're losing more and more every day.
We are. And the beautiful thing about the gentleman that sent me a bunch of photos from, most of the families were around Moss. There was a Wheeler, I can't remember his last name now, that was in Moss. But his mother took the time to write the names of the people on all the photos. So many photos. I know I have several that I don't know who the people are. Of course, there's no one here to ask anymore. But his mother actually took the time to write the names. Even there was a family reunion, and she wrote the name of every single person in that picture. So I would encourage anyone, if your grandpa or grandma wants to sit down with you and you want to look at photos, if they tell you who the people are, write the names on the back.
You know, I just going through that, I have an envelope folder full of some letters, and I picked handwritten letters that were written in like 1904 or 1905 that my grandmother, who passed away at a very young age, and I sat in her home and I said, you know, I am actually holding a tablet page that my grandmother took a pencil and wrote on in 1903. And, you know, just things that you there's a feeling there when you pick up things like that.
Oh, there is. And it's like, for instance, in the log house down on Gainsborough Highway, sometimes I like to just go in there and sit, because you can feel history. History just comes through the walls, really. It does.
And, you know, there are so many buildings that are gone now.
Yes.
And Of course, you know, it seemed like over the years when we get something new, we couldn't wait to get rid of the old.
Tear something down, yes.
And get rid of the old. But a lot of those memories are still there in photographs, pictures. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look through these things and you say, well, I don't know who that is. But, you know, there may be someone that does. I know because on the social media now, people are continually posting photos. Does anybody have any idea who this is? Mm-hmm. And usually more than half the time, someone will come back and say, hey, that's my great uncle. And he did this, he did that.
So I hope they stop and write that name on the photo so
yes.
they know who it was that
yes.
time.
Yes. And, okay, now, some of the things that you've changed out there, some of the things, other things you've got in.
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do, and we're working on it, it's going to be a very slow process because it's going to be quite a bit of work. We are working to eventually have the Cordell Hull office, law office, fixed in a way that we can use it as part of the museum. We have a few things in there, but it's not really as stable as it should be. One of the rooms needs a lot of work. Well, all of them need some work, but one needs a lot of work. So we hope to put a lot of effort into getting that to where people can go in there and we can use it to display things. We have a lot of people will send us, and this gentleman that I was talking about is going to, like, some farm tools, like a hay rake or things like that, which are big, and we have some of those things, but we don't have a good place to display them right now, and we want to be able to display them, hopefully, like in the Cordell Hull building, once we're able to do some more work on it, to where we can hang them and people can actually look at a hay rake or a fluff, or I have a log chain, or it's not a chain, it's a log hook, where when they were logging down the river, they would take this hook and pull the logs over. We have some memorabilia about boat races, the national boat races. We would love to have more about the boat races here. We don't have very much, but the Donaldson family, again, gave us a couple of magazines that related to the boat races and boat championships we had here on Dale Hollow. And when you look at some of those and see the crowds that came to those races.
Well, I can
amazing.
Remember being there as a very, very youngster, having to walk from the Highway 52 down to Cedar Hill mm-hmm. to look over the hill there. A big, big deal. But, you know, man, there when the lake was first impounded, we had boats that took people around all over the lake. And
like tourists? Like
Yes, we had... I was trying to think of the gentleman's name. I think it was maybe the Carter family mm-hmm. that was up there that had a tour boat, that mm-hmm. an old boat that they went around to all of the different places in there, took people around to see. Of course, now everybody jumps into a motorboat and runs in a big hurry.
But the lake is so beautiful. And I think one of the things they do, and they did it this year, but unfortunately it was at a time I didn't get to attend, they do the Eagle Watch.
Yes.
Where they go out on the barge and people can see the eagles, and it's a much, much slower pace than the motorboats, but it's beautiful. That lake is gorgeous.
You know, and I know we were talking yesterday for a few minutes about, you know, the industries here built around this lake, and I know we came up with the, I was telling Beverly about the boat factory here in Salina. It was over back behind where the B&B store used to be in a warehouse there behind Copeland's there, where they actually made the mahogany run, everything from mahogany run of inboard runabouts to fishing boats, wooden fishing boats. I think maybe they came up with the first fiberglass fishing boat, and also we talked Lester Westmoreland, the house they built
boat.
The original houseboats here. Mm-hmm. He and Mr. Ned Parson, I think he built some mm-hmm. of them. You know, some of the things that went on here, and that we these are things like that, stories of that.
Yeah, things
Beverly
were losing.
Needs stories
because
of those things.
I absolutely do. I love stories, would love to have anything. One of the things that I want to emphasize too are the rivers. I think the biggest thing about the rivers is we forget that was the mainstay of Salina. Salina was a riverboat town, and I have a self-player piano in the museum that was brought here on a riverboat. And I know there's another one here in town that I know was brought here on a riverboat as well. The riverboats were the mainstay. We were probably one of the busiest areas for transporting produce. And I think, Thomas, you told me that we took chickens
upriver.
Upriver to Bardstown. And, you know, something people do forget is Salina, Clay County, is one of the top chicken-producing counties in Tennessee.
You know, if you can go online to newspapers.com and get, like, economic reports on Clay County, or on Salina from back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and it's truly amazing the barrels of corn, the wheat, the meat products, all these things that were produced in this area here at that time, the bales of cotton, all of those things. It's amazing the magnitude of the commerce that took place here. And I know a lot of the stories would talk about how it was one of the rising economic areas in the state of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that was because of the river and the ease of getting products out of here.
And, of course, with the convergence of the Obie and the Cumberland here, it brought timber in all the way. Mm-hmm. You could float your timber all the way down to here from Jamestown, Byrdstown, Burnside, all up into Kentucky. You could float them down here, and they would, of course, bring them down and create big log rafts and take about a week and float all the way to Nashville.
Nashville, yeah.
And if you worked on the log raft, take you about a week to walk back home.
I was going to say, I know that people went downriver to Nashville on the logs, and I thought, okay, they went down, and how did they get back home? So they had to walk because they didn't have a horse with them.
Well,
so,
you know, riding a steamboat back up would cost them a whole lot of what they made working downstream.
That's true.
I mean, they would actually just, you know, take the time and just walk back home. Well, Beverly, the hours over there.
Yep, we're doing everything. Of course, as everyone knows, I believe, we're 100% nonprofit, so everything we do is done by volunteers. We have been working since the first of the year to have the museum open on Fridays and Saturdays from 12 until 4. And we've been successful so far, you know, because we do have to have the volunteers, but we do intend to keep it open at least from 12 to 4 on Friday and Saturday. But also, if you call the museum, we will open by appointment. Like if you were in town and you had relatives here and you wanted just to bring them down to show them, please just give us a call. We will be happy to meet you at the museum and open it up and let your family walk through.
Well, you know, something went through my mind is, Beverly, we need to come up with a core of people, about 30 people willing to give one day a month.
One day a month, that's right.
One day
we
a
do.
Month to come out to the mm-hmm. library and stay there.
To the museum.
Three or four hours, the museum, stay there like 3 or 4 hours during the day
right.
and meet and greet people.
Right.
And if you get that many, you know, enough people to cover. Well, it wouldn't have to be 30, but between 20 and 30 people, volunteers that would come in. And I know, I'm telling you right now, if you're interested in people, talking to people, it would be one of the greatest experiences you've ever had.
Oh, it will
be. To be there. But because if that building is open, people from all over the United States will be coming through that front door. And they're looking for someone to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you may think that your information, your story is not important, but they're coming in there with a story, and they're wanting to hear your story. And with that, the little bird in my ear said it's time to give away a birthday prize.
Okay.
And that today's birthday prize will go to David and Wendy Spears, who celebrated an anniversary this past week. So you can come over to the chamber and pick up that prize. And with that, we'll have to say, I guess, we've got the doors shut up here in the old barn, got everything put back where it belongs, and may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, hopefully next week here in WVFBFN. And don't forget to tune us in this evening at 6 o'clock on 101.5, where we're broadcasting live and living color from the tower out at Midway. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thank you, Thomas.
All right. Thank you, Beverly.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.